The word's been very alive to me this week, and I may be reading more than I normally do. I'm not sure, but we'll see how it unfolds. But the scripture that started it all is actually the last verse in the book of Acts. And you can read this later, because I'll be reading from the Message Bible. I know that's kind of a different translation. But it says, Paul lived for 2 years in his rented house. He welcomed everyone who came to visit. Now, this is how Paul finished his life in Rome, as far as we know. He urgently presented all matters of the kingdom of God. He explained everything about Jesus Christ. Here's what hit me. His door was always open. Our spiritual journey is not as much about what goes on in our mind and emotions. We're a work in progress. Let's leave it at that. Our spiritual journey is about keeping an open heart. The heart, the spiritual organ where the Lord is. That's where God resides, where the Holy Spirit is. It goes deeper than our thoughts, deeper than what we feel. It more encompasses the attitude of our life. We talk about humility. We talk about thankfulness. Those are attitudes of heart that certainly change how we feel and how we think. But Paul, I'm so amazed. It speaks of him how in the book of Acts he was telling someone, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. How they tried to keep him from going to Jerusalem, that last journey he took, because they said, you're going to die. You can't do this. He goes, I don't care about that. All I care about is doing what God wants me to do. If I got to give up my life, so be it. Timothy says, I fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. From beginning to end, when the Lord first met him, Paul kept his heart open to what God wanted. And that's what God wants for us. So I want to this morning look at the life of Paul and maybe take off our rose-colored glasses or the celebrity-tinged glasses we tend to put on when we look at heroes of faith. We look at Paul, and obviously he wrote more than half of our New Testament. I don't know if anyone, other than the Lord, had a major impact, but he's probably second in line as far as impacting our lives, explaining what it means to be a Christian. Through Paul, we understand what the cross was all about. We understand about the end of the law and what the grace of God is all about. Through Paul, there's a revelation of being reconciled to the Father through the work of the cross and the resurrection. Truly, the words and the revelation that God gave Paul gives us a clear picture of what it means to be a Christian, to be in Christ. But he wasn't a celebrity. He had a past. And I want to talk about things that not only impact our thinking and emotions, but things that can put a blanket over our spiritual heart. Philippians 3, and you can read this later. I'm not going to go there now. Paul opens up about his past. Pharisee of Pharisees. Basically, he talks about his past before he was converted on the road to Damascus. That he was fighting God. He was resisting what the Holy Spirit was doing. He was persecuting the church. How do you get back past it? Something like that. Well, he explained, forgetting what lies behind, I press forward to the mark, Christ Jesus. When you have a past, either that past is going to consume you and there's going to be a sense of shame, or you're going to let it go because you're grabbing onto something greater. If anyone could have been consumed by their past and mistakes and failures, it would be Paul. He wanted so much to be right and to be confronted with all those years of his life as a Pharisee. He was fighting against the one he thought he was serving. But Philippians 3, he says, the past, I let it go. It's nothing. It's worth nothing. I'm not holding on to it. He had such a devotion to Christ. And God wants us to deal with our past in a way where it's not a blanket covering over our spiritual heart, our true identity. There's not a sense of shame. We've all made mistakes. We all have failures. We're not to be in denial about that. But what you've experienced in the past doesn't define who you are. if we can hold on to that devotion to Christ and know that God wants us always looking forward, we can let go where the past doesn't haunt us, doesn't become a blanket over our spiritual heart. We learn from it and we move on. In the book of Galatians, and I will turn there, you can read this later, first couple chapters, Paul again talks about his past and his upbringing. Let me find where I want to be here. He goes on, he says, I'm sure you've heard the story of my earlier life where I lived in the Jewish way. In those days, I went all out in persecuting God's church. I was systematically destroying it. I was so enthusiastic about the traditions of my ancestors that I advanced head and shoulders above my peers in my career. Even then, God had designs on me. Why, when I was still in my mother's womb, he chose and called me out of sheer generosity. Now he has intervened and revealed his son to me so that I might joyfully tell non-Jews about him. Let me stop there. There's something very powerful here. Paul's past is one thing as a Pharisee, and it's pretty powerful. He's admitting to what he did. But he said even in his mother's womb, God had designs on him. So he identifies with before his life as a Pharisee. Before you made any mistakes in life, in the womb, God was marking your spirit. God had a destiny for you. You are where you are now. Paul's very clear about this. He revealed his son to me. That's what Paul carried away with him. He had a revelation of the Son of God within his life. Not a sense of condemnation or shame. You are here today not because of all the decisions you made in your life, good or bad. Well, I made these mistakes. If I turned left instead of right, would it be a different life I'm living, whatever. The enemy torments our minds, and it's a lie. You're where you are because God wants you right here, this moment, because he marked your spirit in life before you ever came into the world. And at the right time, he revealed his son in you and to you. And mistakes aside, he's brought you right to where he wants you to be. Our sense of identity and destiny has got to be that confidence in who God is and how he's marked our life. Not by how well we've made decisions or not, you know, we all want to make good choices, but we've all made mistakes. Your destiny is guided and is a product of the Holy Spirit, not your efforts. 2 Corinthians, and again, that's something that can cloud us. If we only see our past, if we don't see that God was there before, we were in heaven with him before we ever came to this earth, he was marking our destiny. That keeps your heart open when you realize that. Corinthians, he talks about what he went through. And I'm going to try to keep this short. The whole chapter is just so wonderful. We think of Paul, the great apostle, and all the things he brought to people, and he must have been an idol in his day. Well, he was famous and infamous, wasn't he? The apostles in those days, they weren't celebrities like we look at people in Hollywood and what we do in religion today. Or we build monuments to people from the past. Weren't they great? Well, when they were walking the earth, they were persecuted. They were controversial. In the fourth chapter, you can read about it. You know, I'm going to go down to... He talks about his persecutions. He says in one place... We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Our lives are at constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. While we're going through the worst, you're getting us on the best. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There is far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see now will last forever. You get Paul's heart coming through on this. There's suffering. He went through a lot. But instead of that being a blanket that caused him to close his heart, he talks in another scripture about being a drink offering, being poured out for everybody. Paul's heart became more open by the more that he suffered. On human terms, we say, well, that shouldn't be. Someone's chasing you around with a bat, you close down. Someone starts hitting you, you put up walls. Yet the more that Paul went through, the more open his heart became to show who the Lord was and who the Father was. We've got to understand that the things of life are just temporal. Paul was in tune to the eternal. Oh, the eye doesn't see. We have that in our heart too. It doesn't mean you pretend that suffering is fun, but just determine that, Lord, emotionally and mentally, I'm kind of overwhelmed right now, but my heart's going to stay open to your presence and to your purpose. One more scripture in John chapter 6, and this is really important. What can cover our heart is following the Lord for the wrong reasons. When we let God expose our motivation, why we're in this to begin with, we can come to a point where our heart can stay really open and we realize that it's not just, we're not just following for the blessings, we're following to know him. This is a chapter where Jesus fed the multitudes, a miracle. Then he disappears on them and they're saying, oh, where'd he go? We got to eat again, let's go find him. Here's what he had to say to them when they found him. You've come looking for me not because you saw God in my actions, but because I fed you, filled your stomachs, and for free. Everybody's looking for Jesus. The question is, why? He confronts this great multitude and says, you're looking for me not because you want to see who the Father is. You just want me to bless you. Well, we all want to be blessed. That's human nature. We have needs. But there's something more than that. He goes on, and then he talks about that he was the bread of life that's come down from heaven. He says, unless you partake of me, you have no life in yourselves. And you know, the language he used was very offensive to the Jewish people that were listening. But I think on a deeper level, when you read this chapter, he was getting at the heart of, why are you here? I'm the bread of life. I've come from the Father. I'm a new life. Do you want my life in you, or do you just want me to bless your life? And the multitudes looked at him and said, we're just here for the blessing. Sorry, we'll leave now. See you later. And the few disciples, of course, they hung out, and Jesus had this to say. He goes, my flesh is real food. My blood is real drink. By eating my flesh and drinking my blood, you enter into me and I into you. In the same way that the fully alive Father has sent me here, I live because of him. So the one who makes a meal of me lives because of me. This is the bread of heaven. He talks about my words. Every word I've spoken to you is a spirit word, and so it is life-making. And what did the disciples say when he said, do you want to leave too? Peter replied, Master, to whom would we go? You have the words of real life, eternal life. We've already committed ourselves, confident that you are the Holy One of God. Here are the disciples saying, we want to be fed too. You're our provision, but you're more than that. And Peter doesn't know how to articulate something that, how can our minds comprehend? He's saying, we're staying here because we see life in you, and we want that life. They recognized a life, and at that time they didn't realize it was the Heavenly Father presenting himself through the Son. They would realize that later. But they had enough going on where they recognized, even though our minds might be offended, We're going to keep our heart open because you have the words of spirit and life. If all we want is the blessing, there are going to be times when we close off our heart, when things, life doesn't go our way, or we don't understand what's going on. If we're after the life of the Father in us, we want His life, then even when mentally and emotionally we're going through turmoil, we're going through trials and tribulations, when you want the life, your heart stays open. And you're always reaching to drink of His Spirit, to partake of the bread of life. That's what God asks of us. He doesn't say, I want you to be, you got to perfect yourself. You got to be always mentally on top, always emotionally on top. That's what I want for myself. But God looks and says, you want to continue growing in this journey? Keep your heart open to my presence. Desire to have my life in you. And that becomes your life. Amen. All right.